Hello, this is Dave Jeffrey, welcoming you to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Produced in the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. Today we're going to ask the question, feeling lonely later in life? Well, we're going to look at dating for us older ones, and I tell you what, a lot of good ideas around. Your savings could be reducing your pension. Yes, that's right, it's an interesting article to look at what your savings are. Is retirement living for you? We've got some questions, interesting, and also some good ideas. How to eat healthy the easy way. And with the coronavirus, a lot of us have had a bit of a renaissance. Do you need a computer? Are you lacking computer knowledge? Well, this is a good short article, and we're going to tell you how to get computers and computer training on the cheap. First up today, it's the subject of dating. You are never too old. Taken from the wellness section of the Sunday Telegraph, keeping up to date. When it comes to finding love, modern dating methods ensure that you are never too old to make new connections. Written by Natasha Pereira. Dating does not really change much as we get older. The end game is still the same. We want to find someone and have a strong connection with them and to be loved. The fear of being alone is one of the reasons that older people in particular are more inclined to seek out a new love. That is, if they've not found a compatible partner. Relationships Australia National Study on Loneliness found 1 in 6 Australians is experiencing emotional loneliness. High rates were reported among widowed men and women under 65. Relationships Australia Victoria General Manager of Clinical Services said it's not uncommon for older ones to be guarded. They start dating because they feel worn down by life. They might have been hurt in a past relationship. They might simply lack the confidence through ageing. But we're social creatures. We need to feel that we belong and we're not alone. Now, Sharon Draper is an eHarmony online dating psychologist. She believes that our priorities regarding love change as we get older. The biggest pro for older people in their 30s, 40s, 50s and 60s, she said, is up. They tend to know what they want from relationships. But the danger is we can judge too quickly in older age. Now, this is important, she said. It's important to be more curious than analytic. I'm going to say that again because it features strongly in this article. In dating, it is important to be more curious than analytic. If you're looking for things that are negative about someone, you're more likely to only see those negative things. Now, we've got a couple of headings here. The first one is Tech Talk. The second one, Positive Mindset. All right, let's look at Tech Talk. Technology has been the biggest game changer with dating apps, such as Silver Singles, Lumen. They bestow and give us popular ways for seniors to find love. More than 1 in 5 Australians not in a serious relationship are dating. 3 in 5 believe that dating is now easier due to the technology. This is according to an Australian seniors report. Meanwhile, 43% of Australian baby boomers know at least one couple who met online. But with so many apps available, it's also easy to feel overwhelmed and intimidated. Viewing online dating apps, like computer games, with the good safety measures in place is an ideal way. Meeting in person is an important part of the dating process. You build a healthy relationship. You need to actually meet someone for the phenomenon to happen. That's when you'll know whether there's chemistry or not. Socializing through a website, such as Meetup, introduces you to people with same interests. This happens without the pressure of one-on-one dates. There's ClickChat. They also take a different approach to the traditional online dating. They do this by encouraging real-life meetings before going onto any online chats. Now, the ClickChat co-founder, Kendra Van Dame, says members receive a set of specially created cards. These provide a secure way to connect online without having to give out phone numbers or addresses. You can use the card to hand out to people that you think you'd like to get to know better. Hey, just a reader's note here, isn't that a great idea? You give them a card to people that you think you'd like to know better. What a great meeting idea. And you never enter a personal code or anything like that. It's just on the card. They access your personal profile, she explains. Now, the positive mindset. Understanding your triggers is vital to making things work when dating. You need to identify what you're sensitive to and how to manage that to avoid reacting emotionally, she said. Sharon suggests keeping a journal to help work through what makes you feel uncomfortable. Dating should be about having fun, interaction. If you have rigid expectations that are too controlling, you stop being open-minded. You'll end up self-sabotaging any chances of ever finding love. Now, there's a few tips here for successful relationships. It says, never compromise on your values. The minute you start to compromise your integrity, you're not being treated with respect and care, and that results in a situation of inequality. Secondly, you've got to prioritise. Time for self-love and self-care. Focus on building an amazing life for yourself as an individual and take responsibility for your happiness. This will increase your positive attractiveness to others. Understanding. Now, you've got to understand how you both like to express your love. You may like the words or affirmation, and your partner may prefer the physical touch. We tend to show love in the way that we want to be loved. Now, I'm going to say that again. We tend to show love in the way that we want to be loved, and that may not be the way that your partner wants to be loved. So, take care to each other and reach out to be helpful. And secondly, maintain open communications. This can be tricky in older people if you're set in your ways, but it is important. We must learn to listen and accommodate each other to move forward positively in our relationships. Hey, didn't they have some fabulous ideas there? I'm just going to take a moment to summarise that. They suggest a couple of websites. There's Silver Singles, and the other one was Lumen, L-U-M-E-N. They also said it's important to be more curious than analytic. And this other website that I liked, it was ClickChat, C-L-I-C-C-H-A-T. They give you a card. Now, you can hand this card to other people that you think you'd like to get to know better. That's a great icebreaker, isn't it? What a great idea. And the other one was, they said, your partner may prefer the physical touch, where you might prefer words of affirmation. So just be careful. Try to get to know each other. Well, some good ideas there, and good luck. Hopefully you might be lucky in love. Well, I thought this next article was very important. Are you saving too much? Well, your savings could be reducing your pension. This came from the Sydney Morning Herald recently. It's written by John Rolfe. Actually, it became on February the 3rd this year. It says, saving more over the course of your working life will reduce income in retirement. The group Industry Super Australia claims that a couple who amass $875,000 in their life, they will end up with $12,000 a year less than if they had accumulated only $400,000 a year. This is to do with your pension, of course. Now, the organisation, which represents industry super funds, has labelled the outcome perverse. They warn that it must be fixed by winding back changes made in 2007. These changes were made to the means test for access to the pension. Now, during Prime Minister Scott Morrison's time as Treasurer, they got into the taper rate. This was a test it doubled to reduce pension entitlements by $3 a fortnight for every $1,000 in savings. Already 330,000 people are being caught by the increased taper rate. A further 700,000 will be affected over the coming decade, according to Industry Super Australia. They say these workers have saved hard their whole life only to reach retirement and find out they're being penalised. They are being penalised for their financial responsibility. Now, Chief Executive Bernie Dean said, "The perverse pension means tests really that those who saved more have less to spend. This results in a disincentive to save. It flies in the face of reason and it is just plain unfair." These responsible retirees who took their savings upon themselves deserve to be given a leg up by the government, not to be dragged down by an unfair retiree tax. Now, the group is urging the government to reduce the taper rate to $2. It's doing so via the Retirement Income Review commissioned by Treasurer Josh Frydenberg. National Seniors Australian spokesman Ian Henschke has also dubbed the taper rate increase as unfair. He said the government is fond of repeating the mantra, a fair go for people who've had a go. But he said, it's the pension taper rate that does not back up those words. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's having a go at people who've tried to have a go themselves and save for their retirement. It's patently unfair that a couple who've saved more than $800,000 get less in retirement than the couple with $400,000. Okay, we're going to look at an example now. Helen Saville has lost about a third of her retirement income due to the taper rate change. So did her husband. The 74-year-old from the Southern Highlands village of Alpine said their response had been to run down some of their nest egg, which restored them to a portion of the lost pension. "That was not our aim because we're not dead yet," Miss Saville said. But these changes make people start to question the value of saving. Miss Saville said she believed the retirement income system should be independent of politics. She said, "You are subject to constant change, and this is absurd." Now, that's a very interesting article. I think you should seek some financial advice on this, but have a listen to the paragraph that said, "Industry Super Australia..." Now, these are a responsible body. "Industry Super Australia says, a couple who amass $875,000 in their lifetime will end up with $12,000 a year less than if they had accumulated just $400,000 in their lifetime. Good luck, but I think we all need to check this. Well, as we get a little older, we sometimes think what to do with the rest of our life. Retirement communities, the financial benefits, and is it right for you? This came from the February Senior newspaper. After working hard for most of your life, you deserve your retirement years to be full of fun and enjoyment. The last thing that you want to do is find yourself in financial difficulties. With many Australians choosing to relocate in their 50s, 60s and 70s and seniors' years, they're discovering financial benefits of living in a retirement community. There are many choices available in retirement living. There's affordable rental options with light-knit communities to luxury sky-rise apartments. Some of these have services that will make you feel like you're living in an all-inclusive resort. Retirement communities provide quality, care and housing choices with a range of flexible pricing options. These ensure that you have the opportunity to access a diverse range of villages at the price that suits both your lifestyle and your budget. All right, we're going to look at several headings. Now, the first one is, how much does it cost? All retirement villages require you to pay a variety of costs in addition to the entry price of your home. Different villages will offer different types of occupancy and ownership arrangements. The specific costs will depend on the type of village you choose and the type of contract you enter into. So we're not being vague there, but it's difficult to put a price on it. Now, we're going to look at a couple of options here. We've got five different ones in the benefits. Relocating to a residential retirement community provides a genuine alternative to the increasing pressures and costs of daily living. We've got five benefits here. They're called downsizing, mortgage, lower start-off costs, no stamp duty, maintenance and amenities, and payment options. All right, let's look at the first one, downsizing. The cost of maintaining a home, now too large for your needs, can be a real financial drain. By downsizing, you can sell your home and use part of the proceeds to purchase somewhere new. You could go into a median village entry price across Australia, coming in at just two-thirds of the price of traditional real estate in the surrounding area. Okay, secondly, mortgage. Another big financial benefit of moving into a retirement community is the savings from funds usually spent on regular mortgage payments. Without this large debt, you can use your hard-earned money for things that you really want. Third thing, lower start-off costs. Now, this is interesting. In some retirement communities, residents only pay for the home. This gives a big initial saving by renting the land. Fourth item, there's no stamp duty. Some retirement villages do not charge stamp duty on entry. This can save a significant amount. Maintenance and amenities. Save on the cost of maintenance and amenities with village support often built into regular payments and fees. Services provided to a village en masse are also generally cheaper than for an individual. They include services such as building, insurance, rates, electricity, water, repairs, maintenance. They'll also do gardening and landscaping, leisure facilities, organised social activities. And something we might need, 24-hour emergency assistance, and there's more. Now, the payment options can be good too. Depending on the village, there are often multiple payment options to explore. There is the Deferred Management Fee, the DMF. This is also known as a departure or an exit tax. One of the lesser understood concepts here of the entry into retirement villages. For prospective residents, the DMF provides flexibility on pricing of the ingoing contribution. It allows you to pay a reduced amount up front by allowing an amount to be withheld by the operator when you leave. Now, this makes the opportunity to enter the retirement village more accessible. I'm just going to add a reader's note here. A lot of people are critical of the exit or the departure tax, but when you think about it in this way, it's paid when you leave, so therefore it's cheaper for you to get into the village. Entering a retirement village is not the same as purchasing a standard residential property, and so the financial terms are likely to be new to you. It's important for you to take your time to understand the variety that's available. Contact property options available to you across the industry. It is also recommended that you seek independent financial and legal advice to make the decision that's right for you. Ensure that you have a clear understanding of the terms and conditions of your village contract. Now, you certainly need some financial advice, of course, everybody realises that, but some of the benefits there of living in a community area, you can downsize, don't have to maintain a big home, mortgage, you don't have to pay a mortgage when you get in often, there's a lower start-off cost, there's no stamp duty, and maintenance and amenities, they look after you, don't have to do the gardening and they've got 24-hour protection, there's good payment options, you can defer the entry fee and pay it on exit. So, a lot to be said for community living there. Okay, with coronavirus, have you been eating well or getting stuck into the takeaway? I've been doing a bit of both, I think. Okay, this one says, do your meals tick all the right boxes? And it's to do with takeaway. Home-delivered meals, they can be good, but do your research. And this says, do your meals tick the right boxes? This was taken from the Healthy Living section of the Senior magazine in February this year. These days, it seems everyone is busy. And it's not just the younger generation. Seniors are leading active lives and have more demands on their time than ever before. A healthy, ready meal from the freezer is often a good, speedy solution, particularly when you've had a busy day. It's more economical choice than ordering a takeaway, and have few nutritional attributes. And it's particularly important too with the coronavirus. But how can you make sure that your home-delivered meals are ticking all the right nutritional boxes for you? I do need to add a reader's note here that this is an advertisement, but it's got some very, very helpful hints, and we'll give the phone number at the end too. Maria Mitzkis is a nutritionist with Tender Loving Cuisine, that's TLC. They deliver to nearly 4,000 suburbs in Queensland, New South Wales, ACT and Victoria. She shares her tips on choosing the best home-delivered meals. Now, there's six headings here. The first one, make careful selections. If you have intolerances, pay attention to the descriptions on the menu. When ordering home-delivered meals, read the labels of the ingredients that are used. A reputable company will list all the ingredients on the label. Secondly, do your research. Meals labeled deep-fried, pan-fried, basted, butter-dipped, breaded, creamy crisp, scalloped, and Alfredo are usually high in calories. They have unhealthy fats and sodium. Do your research to find organizations offering meals that are low in salt. Meals that are vegetarian, gluten-free. They're suitable for people with diabetes and healthy heart choices. Now, undress your food. Maria says beware of the calorie and fat dressings, spreads, cheeses, and sour creams. Do not be afraid to special order. Many menu items would be healthy if it was not for the way that they were sourced or dressed up. A dedicated organization will take time to help you order what is right for you. Watch salt. This is most important. To preserve foods, most companies tend to be very high in sodium. This is a major contributor to high blood pressure. Look for an organization that has won awards for its low salt, fat, or sugar content. And do not add more salt. Okay, it's seemingly quite easy to get the right takeaway meals. Make a careful selection. Do your research. Undress your food for sauces and toppings, etc. Don't be afraid to ask for a special order. And watch salt. That's the most important one. All right, now there's a phone number here. I did say this was an advertisement, but they sound pretty good if you'd like to contact them. It's TLC, Tender Loving Cooking. I've got a phone number, 1-800-801-200. And the website, simply tlc.org.au. I'll say that again if you like. Tender Loving Cooking, the website, tlc.org.au. Or the phone number, 1-800-801-200. Okay, the coronavirus has probably made us all realize more just how dependent we are on technology. Do you need a computer? Do you need technical support? Well, here's how you can do it very cheaply. Again, I suppose this is an advertisement. It's for Work Ventures Australia, but they're associated with Centrelink, so you'd like to think that they're reputable. Cheap, high-quality computers. Work Ventures is Australia's oldest not-for-profit IT social enterprise. They help people into work for over 35 years. Work Ventures refurbishes top-quality computers donated by large corporations. They bring them back to as-new condition and they sell them for a fraction of their original cost. They've got 6 months free telephone technical support. Now, that's good. They'll help you for 6 months. And there's a six-month warranty. Now, computers can be purchased on an independent installment plan, with installments taken out of your Social Security pension. And you do this through Centrepay, which is an offshoot, of course, of Centrelink. You can check out Work Ventures' online shop. Now, I'll come back in a moment and say how to do it. I tell you what, it sounds pretty good. Cheap, high-quality computers, done at a fraction of the cost, and they also got backup for you and help. That number again, 1-800-112-205. Workventures, cheap computers. Good luck. I might see you online. You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network.